I'd like to just share something, a few thoughts which will not be new to you, but which in a certain sense are constantly new to me. And it's on the subject, as I said to Alan yesterday, of the fact that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. This summer we had George Murray, who was a missionary in Italy for a number of years. And then he came back. He was a director of all the missionary work of BCU, Bible Christian Union. And then he was dean or president of Christian International University of Columbia. A really experienced man who knows about missions. And he was our speaker this year. And the things that he said have been going through my mind. He was speaking to missionaries, and he applied it to mission. But he challenged us. Well, one sentence that he said, and which I think we constantly have to keep in mind, was when you're reading the Bible, when you're studying the Bible, don't divorce the application from the premise. You learn certain things in the Bible, certain ideas, certain doctrines, but don't divorce the application. Because if you just learn it here and you're not doing it and living it, then it's not worth anything. Don't divorce the application from the premise. He was speaking on the subject, Jesus is God. So what? So what is the application? And he applied it in different ways. But as he applied it to mission, he went to the red letter text, the text, the Great Commission I'm sure you all know at the end of Matthew 28. And he read, so what is Jesus saying about the Great Commission? And Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 19, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. The Great Commission. Go and make disciples. But there is a word before go. When you say go, I mean, that means you don't stay. If you're going somewhere, yeah, you don't stay where you are. You go, and it's not necessarily a question of geography. It's a question of intention, going to school, or going to the office, or going to see your neighbor, the other side of the street. Go. And as Christians, we have the order from Jesus to go, to meet other people, and to be sharing with them. Maybe we're going to the gym, maybe we're going on vacation. Does that mean we don't share the gospel? No. Every Christian, every believer has a mission. We all have that command from Jesus, wherever we are, wherever we go, to have that intention. In the beginning of Acts, about the Holy Spirit, just before his ascension, Jesus says, wait, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Assyria, the ends of the earth, etc. But you will be my witnesses. And in this particular verse, he says, I said, go make disciples, but if your Bible's the same as mine, it says, therefore, go. And therefore supposes that he's just said something important. For this reason, therefore, go and make disciples. And in this case, you know the verse which comes before? What does the verse which comes before that one we read just say? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I often say to people at home in the church when I'm preaching, I said, all, every, underline those or surligner, whatever that is in English, in your Bible, when it says all, no exceptions. All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Therefore, go. And George said, the starting point of mission is not mission. The starting point for mission is the lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord. Therefore, and he has all power in heaven and on earth, therefore, go. Now, as a student 50-some years ago in London, I had many questions. We were talking yesterday about questions, and I found some answers. Very thankful to the Lord. I met Francis Schaeffer at that time, read his works. I had several times had put direct contact with him. He came and spoke in our college. And he really helped me to find answers for my Christian faith, the rational basis for believing that the Bible is the Word of God. And Genesis, someone read from Genesis 1. Genesis 1 to 12 is very exciting. He has a book, get it. Genesis in Space and Time. It's a great book, and it really helped me as a student. But there was one problem which pursued me as I found answers. The gospel says that Jesus died on the cross to save us. Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins and so that we would be able to spend eternity in heaven with him. That's true. I believe that when I was a student. But is that all there is? My question was, is that all that there is? And Paul says, when he's speaking about salvation, he says in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 10, speaking about the gospel, he says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Savior, no. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess Jesus as Lord. Sometimes I think maybe in our presentation of the gospel, we stop short. And the question is, what does that really mean? Don't divorce the application from the premise. Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? I remember when I was a student too, I listened on a tape, there weren't sort of DVDs or CDs or stuff at that time. I listened to a tape of a message by Ray Steadman. Ray Steadman was a pastor in California, and he would have been asked to speak at Keswick in England and to speak about the Lordship of Christ. And he chose a text in Romans chapter 14. And this is the text. Romans 14, verse 7, Paul says, speaking about the gospel, for none of us lives to himself alone. None of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And then he adds, for this very reason, Christ died and return to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. And I'm sure that Ray Steadman said an awful lot about it in the tape, and I don't remember exactly all he said. But what he did say was, Jesus died and rose again in order to be the Lord of the dead and Lord of the living. And the big question I have is, what does that really mean for me as a young person? What does it mean in practice? I read a book which wasn't written by a Christian at that time, and the title, it was in French, I was studying French, and the title was Dieu et Dieu, bon Dieu. Those who understand French. Dieu et Dieu, bon Dieu. A free translation would be something like, for God's sake, God is God. And I was interested in this because he wasn't a Christian, but he was talking about it. And I think we have a problem sometimes in our culture, in our education, because we're so often taught and trained to plan things, to organize things, to control things. I like to be able to control things. In our church, the church in Montpellier has grown. And so we're constantly having meetings about planning and organizing and the program, etc. And we want to get it all together. And, well, that's okay. Jesus said to his disciples when in John 13, when he was just washed the feet of his disciples, he turns to them and he says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. So what? So what for me as a student? So what? What am I going to do with that?" Here's a simple statement. And you can tell me whether it's true or false. If I say, "It is good to include God in my plans," is that true? Yes? It is good to, true or false? True, to include God in my plans? It's not a bad sentence, but it's not totally true. If not to say it's false, because God does not want to be included in my plans or in your plans. He wants to include us in his plan. And that's not the same thing. That means he is Lord. He is the one who's calling the place. He is the one who decides the direction and what to do. He wants to include us in his plan. And so my question was, what is his plan for me? So I'm a student 50 years ago, and I think, well, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, and I want to, okay. Now, no doubt soon I'll find a nice Christian girl and get married to a nice Christian girl, and we'll have some nice Christian children, and we'll go to a nice Christian church, and we'll do all the Christian things that Christians do, and it'll be lovely. Is that all? Is that all? And that's what, to find the answer to that question took me to Paris in 1967 with the organization called Operation Mobilization, a bit like Youth of the Mission, they're sort of rather situations that Amber is with, Mercy Ships. And because I wanted to know the answer to that question, I thought, I was convinced that God had more that he wanted to do, and that he was the one who should be Lord of my life. And the first thing that he wants is not what I'm going to do, but what I'm going to be. And the first thing he wants me to be is to be with him. The first thing is the relationship that I have with him, because all the rest comes from that. How much, what place does God really have in my life? I love sports. I played rugby in college, and I played so much sport in school that I only just did about enough studying. But I thought, well, you know, is this the right balance? Is he Lord of my life? And I had the conviction one year, the second year in college, that I should just give up sport. Not because it's bad, because I wanted to discover what God wanted for me. And so I gave up rugby, and I gave up cricket, and that's the English game. And the Lord gave it back to me the last year I was in college, and I was playing again. But it was a test, it was a conviction that I needed to take time to know him and to discover his plans. Later, in Montpellier in France, it was golf. That was my passion. I started a tennis club in the village, but I had problems with the knees. I'm going to have to get this one changed. But golf's a little more gentle on the knees. So I love golf, and I often play golf. But when I went to Madagascar, the first visit I did with Mary, my first wife, in 2004, we visited a number of churches, and we visited pastors, and we saw the poverty of these people. And I thought, oh. Now, when I go and play a round of golf, depending on where it is or what it was, you had to pay $50, $60 for the green fee. Apart from the fact that you spend maybe 4 hours to do 18 holes. Well, $50, $60 was enough money to pay for all the needs of a pastor and his wife and his children for a whole month in Madagascar. And there were a lot of them who just didn't have that. So what do? Is he Lord of my money? What is his plan? What are the right priorities? And how am I going to apply them in my life? Never divorce the application from the premise. Jesus is Lord. Now, it's never a once and all decision. Sometimes I play golf. Huh? It's not a sin to play golf, in case you do play golf. And somehow I have an idea that all the holes are going to be holes in one in heaven. Saw a guy hit the ball in the hole the other day from 145 yards. It only happened to me once in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And we were on a hole in Mount Lemmon in Pittsburgh, and I hit this ball, and I couldn't see the hole. And I go up, and I can't find my ball anywhere. Looking around all over the place. Finally, I look in the hole, and there it is. It's the only time it ever happened. It'll all be perfect in heaven. However, how does it really work out? In my own personal life, in your own personal life, what did it mean for Jesus to be Lord? Do I take time with him in his word? I'm sure many of you do. Maureen challenged one of our young guys who sometimes leads the worship time. He said, how much do you read the Bible? And finally, he was very honest, and he said, well, actually, I only read it when I've got to prepare a worship time. That's no good. And when I came to France in 1967 and met a guy who taught the young people's teams, he said to me, Colin, you studied French literature. He said, if you're studying a play or a novel, you start at the beginning, you go through to the end. He said, you've got to do the same thing with the Bible. You've got to read the Bible. Many Christians don't take much time to read the Bible. Is he Lord of my life? Is he Lord of my time? Do I give him time to speak to me, to lead me? Is he Lord of my family life with my children? Trying to think who it was who said the other day that they decided that they would never... I forgot what their occupation was, but they would never do it on a Saturday or Sunday. Saturday or Sunday is time to be with my family because I'm the father and my family needs me, and God has given me a family and God has given me a wife. Is he Lord of my time, the way I live my life? Do I share the word of God with them? Is he Lord in the decisions I make about my work, my career prospects? It's not easy. We have a lot of young couples in the church. Sometimes we don't see them very often. There's a lot of pressure on young couples who've qualified in their work. And they get offers of promotion. Is that something I should take? Just because it's offered to me? Or is this something that the Lord wants? From time to time, we have people who refuse a promotion. Why? Because they feel that they're at the maximum. And they want time with their family. They want to keep time for the Lord in their lives. They don't want to be pressured by the things that the world brings into their lives. There are only two kingdoms. Jesus said that to the Pharisees. You're either in my kingdom or you're in the devil's kingdom. That's what he said to the Pharisees in John chapter 8. So who is Lord? Who is the king? Who's making the decisions? For ladies, maybe, well, I'm only get back to France, I'm sure it's sales. January is always sales time in France. Some girls, they always have to go to the sales because they need something. No, they don't need anything. They just want to see what's out there. And they normally come back with a couple of things anyway, even if their cupboard is full and they don't wear half the stuff. Is he Lord in the way I use my money, in the decisions I make? I'll just add one more and then I'll finish. And I haven't dared actually say this in my own church because the people know I know them. And the choices that I make, is he Lord of my vacation? Now, we need time to rest. The Lord said to his disciples, come apart and rest a while. He knows we need that. And I don't know what it is in the States, but by now in France, there's no closed shops on Sundays. It used to be Sunday was everything was closed. Now it's 7 days a week. There's no time to rest. Jesus said you need to rest. Come apart. It's essential. But the question is, what do we do and where? French have lots of vacation. It's unbelievable. I know you have less here in the States. But what do I do with my vacation? How do I decide? People say, "Well, we're going with the family to Thailand. Why are you going to Thailand? I want to see Thailand." That's okay. There's nothing wrong with going to Thailand, but is that what the Lord wants you to do with your vacation? And some people, particularly retired people can do great things in missions, short-term help in missions. They've got experience, they're qualified, and particularly some teachers or I don't know what, but you can do things for the Lord. Does that come into your calculation? So many people say, one couple said, this year is our year to travel. And they traveled. They went here this month, and 2 months later they went over here, and they went sailing on a boat. And is that really what the Lord wanted them to do with their time? Bible says don't judge. I can't judge. But you do have some questions. When you see the situation of some people, that's why I take my grandchildren to Madagascar. I want them to see what happens the other side of the world, so that they can decide and think, as they believe in Jesus, what his plan is for their lives. Do I make plans and then say, Lord, please bless these plans that I've got? Or do I take time to seek him and his plan and his place for me in his plan, for his glory, for the advancement of his kingdom? The saying goes, and I'm sure you've heard it said, and maybe you've said it yourself. The fact is, if Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And that's a problem for me, because it's never finished. Each step, each day, that is a question. And when I'm reading my Bible, I mustn't divorce the application from the premise. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go. Lord, show me where to go. May he help us as we seek to be faithful to him. I know that that's your desire. Pray that we would be faithful too as the Lord leads and works. And there is no greater joy than to see him at work, to see him bringing orphans, being educated, learning to know Jesus. It's amazing. I get so much more out of that, and Maureen says that's my baby for retirement. There is no retirement. We had just George Verber in our church, and end of November, he's the founder of Operation Mobilization, where I started in France, and he came and preached, and I had to translate him. And he says, retirement is in heaven. Press on until the end, and the day we get up there. And may the Lord help us to be faithful and to bear fruit for his kingdom. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you because you are Lord. We thank you because you are the Lord of the universe. You are the Lord of all creation. You are over all kingdoms, all thrones, all authorities. All authority. It's you who said it. And Lord, we do believe that that is true. And we just pray that you would help us, that you would help me, that you would help each one of us to know how that works out today, tomorrow, each day. You said that you're coming again, and we believe that that could be very soon. And there are so many people out there who have never heard of you. We just pray that you would help us and that you would bless us here in the States, us in France or in Madagascar, or wherever you may send us, wherever we may go, even if it's vacation. Lord, help us to be aware of your presence and to allow you to lead us and to be your channels of blessing to a world that is lost. For we ask it in his name. Amen.